Online Trading Academy's core strategy is patented and built on the timeless principles of supply and demand. Text Cairo to 57682 to learn how you can trade stocks using this patented core strategy. Text Cairo to 57682.
This is our number 10.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
That's World of News in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. I will talk about this more in the big lead of two, but an hour ago I talked about how the city council, in doing the bidding of the Teamsters Union and trying to kill off Uber and Lyft, that people are going to die because drunk driving has decreased 10% in Seattle since Uber and Lyft came to town. Here's another email I just got from Tracy. Dory, I volunteered a pet food bank. The location was chosen in an area that is easy access for people to use public transport, if possible, and has decent parking. Many of our clients are seniors, disabled, and single moms with kids, and some cannot wrangle 2 weeks' worth of food, which is what they are given, on the bus. Using a low-cost Uber is an affordable solution for these people. I'm sure Uber is also used by moms and seniors going to a human food bank. I called several members of the city council and expressed my concerns that clients on fixed or low incomes who use food banks once or twice a month to transport food will now be left with no affordable solution. The response I got was shocking. I was told that council members were concerned that Uber drivers were not making a living wage. I was also hung up on. If council members really want to make it easier for low-income people to survive, why make transportation unaffordable and also punish people who are willing to provide a vital, affordable service? Well, that gets back, Tracy, to why I called these reprehensible human beings. Yeah, they're going to hang up on you. They're going to act like they care about the Uber drivers and what they're making. It's the Uber drivers who are fighting this. I've talked to a lot of Uber drivers who are making 20 to 30 bucks an hour. And somebody wrote in to me and said, no way are they making 30 bucks an hour. And I read that email a couple days ago. And an Uber driver said, yeah, if you know how to do it, you know how to hustle and get fares. Yes, absolutely. This Uber driver makes 30 bucks an hour. And so the cows, they don't care about the Uber drivers. Come on. They care about the Teamsters. That's all this is about. Yeah, people are going to die as a result of it. But they're doing the bidding of the labor unions. And we have, and this is happening throughout the region. You know, it's happening at the state level. The governor takes his marching orders from the SEIU. You know, gets an 8-step plan to go around a U.S. Supreme Court ruling so they can take $1,000 in dues from people who make $30,000 a year taking care of their parents with Alzheimer's. That's disgusting. It really is. Okay, more on that at 2 o'clock. Let's get to the Fastest 15. And, you know, I'm always brainstorming fun interviews that we would like to get on the show. I'm going to talk tomorrow. I'm very excited about this. Rocker Eddie Money is going to be on the show.
Really?
Yeah, and I heard from his people that he said he's really excited to come on because he has a bunch of friends in Seattle, and all of his friends listened to the show, and they told Eddie how excited they were that he was going to be on the show tomorrow.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. And so Eddie Money, who, and I have a lot of memories. I have a lot of things to share with him because I was such a loser when I was 17, 18 years old.
So what's your biggest memory involving Eddie Money?
Well, two. First of all, I watched just a ridiculous amount of MTV in the earliest days of MTV, and he really knew how to shoot videos and to just take advantage of the earliest days of MTV. So I'm going to tell him about what a loser I was and how I sat and watched his videos all the time. And then when my girls were little, we didn't have a ton of money. So we'd take them to Vegas, and they just wanted the coolest.
Because that's where you need to go when you don't have a lot of money.
Well, we needed to stay someplace that was semi-affordable. And here's some Eddie Money for you.
It's
so many great songs. But my girls liked the pool at the Flamingo because there was a huge waterfall in the pool. And Eddie Money was doing a residency at the Flamingo, and every time you turn on the TV, the in-house channel was just incessantly promoting Eddie Money. So I'm going to talk to him about all this stuff.
Nice.
Yeah. So Eddie Money is going to be on the big show tomorrow, so I'm excited about that. And then speaking of music, so yesterday, this was in the awesome audio of the day, and I told you how disturbed I was by the Elton John song that I saw on the special. It was two nights ago, I guess.
As read by Gayle King.
Yeah, yeah, they were doing a Grammy tribute, and the Grammys are all about music, and I figure, okay, I'm refreshing to get audio here. So the Grammys are all about music, and I saw the last 2 minutes of the broadcast because I was going to watch Channel 7 News, and I saw they were wrapping up the show, and I thought, oh, this is kind of exciting. I'll go to primetime anytime, and I'll watch this. So 1 o'clock in the morning, I see Gayle King, who's on the CBS Morning News and is Oprah's best friend, and they said she's going to do a version of Someone Saved My Life Tonight. And I was thinking,
to celebrate Bernie Taupin's lyrics for Someone Saved My Life Tonight, accompanied by Raymond Seacomb, please welcome Gayle King.
And I was thinking, well, I didn't know she sings. And I thought, well, this might be interesting because the cello sounded kind of cool. And then they launched into the song right about here.
When I think of those East End lights, muggy nights, the curtains drawn in the little room downstairs. Prima Donna Lord, you really should have been there, sitting like a princess perched in her electric chair. And it's
just
one
awful.
More beer, and I don't
it's
hear
absolutely
anymore.
Awful.
Okay, with the cello, though, she couldn't have. Lately. I don't know that anyone could have pulled that off singing it.
Rolling around the basement.
Yeah, everybody else who performed besides her could have pulled this off.
Someone saved my life tonight. Someone saved my life tonight. So save your strength.
So anyway, I played this during Awesome Audio yesterday, and we were just deluged with emails and texts from people who said, well, you know what this reminds me of?
She packed my bags last night, pre-flight. 0 hour, 9 a.m.
You know who this is, right?
You know,
this is a classic. Listen to this.
As a kite by then.
It's William Shatner.
I was going to say, is it William Shatner?
William Shatner's version of Rocket Man. Yeah, from about 20, 25 years ago.
That sounded Priceline-ish.
I miss my wife. It's lonely out in space. On such a tired
flight. See, yeah, he was the Priceline guy. He's the reason you stayed at the Trump Hotel in Vegas.
Yes.
What is it about Elton John songs that lead to wacko spoken word versions by Gayle King and William Shatner?
Back home.
Yeah, that's good here.
No, no, no. I'm a rocket man.
Oh.
Rocket man.
That's creepy.
Burning out his fuse out here alone.
Okay, that's enough. So anyway, we played the Gayle King yesterday. Everybody said, you got to play the Shatner, too.
I think, Dory, we should get you to do a version of a Billy Joel song in the style of either the Shat or the King.
Oh, I like that idea.
What song would you choose?
Scenes from Italian Restaurant, maybe?
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah.
A bottle of red.
A bottle of white. Whatever kind of mood you're in tonight. Yeah.
Wow.
We could do something like that.
Okay.
Can you come up with the music bed for that?
I could come up with the music bed, yeah. Do we want to do this live or have it pre-taped?
Oh, no, live.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be fun.
We'll do it live!
Okay, Bill.
We'll do it live!
All right, Bill.
Okay.
We can do that next segment.
Let's do it.
Do it at the bottom of the hour here?
Do it at the bottom.
Do it at the bottom. Do it live. Okay, but can you come up with a little music bed for me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
All right, I like this idea.
Let's do it.
We should plan the show ahead of time. Instead of, that is a great idea, Sean. Okay, I like that. Okay, other things we got in the fastest 15 here. I mentioned my youngest daughter who just graduated from college a few months ago. She's at home. Our oldest, who's about to get married, lived out for a while, but she's back home right before the wedding because they're saving money. The share of American young adults living with their parents has hit the highest point in 75 years. A recent study by the Pew Research Center, 33% of 25 to 29-year-olds lived with their parents or grandparents in 2016. That is triple the number from 1970. It's just so expensive.
Well, I was going to say, a lot of it is student debt, too, right? I mean, you come out of college and you have $50,000, $80,000, sometimes close to $200,000 in loans.
And I bet, because this is
and
a
no
national
job.
Right, yeah. This is a national poll, 33% nationally. I bet it's higher here in the Puget Sound area because housing is so expensive.
Oh, yeah.
And the only thing that I would counsel parents on, if you can do this, and I really mean this, if your kids are back at home, make a deal with them that they don't have to pay you rent unless you need it. But instead of letting them live for free at the house, make a deal with your kids and say, if you're working, you got to take what you can afford and put it in an investment account that you won't touch for 30 years. And that's been our deal with our kids is, you know, we don't need them to pay rent, but I don't want them to just, you know, be rent free. I want them to pay themselves and then not touch the money. And your kids can accumulate a nice amount.
But you can't touch it for 30 years, so how do you get them out of the house?
Well, I mean, eventually, their job, hopefully, they'll make more money. And, you know, my daughter's, who's about to get married, she's going to be out. But then they have a shot. If you get your kids started investing at age 22, and I wish I had the stat right in front of me, but something like, if you put in $15,000 when you're 22 years old and do that, you know, add $800 a month till you're 30, you'll have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. And you could stop at age 30 but and then just let compounding. If you can keep adding to it, you'll do even better. And you'll be ahead of somebody who starts at age 30 and puts $800 a month in for 30 years.
Great advice.
Yeah. Use the power of compounding. Get your kids to start, you know, paying themselves first, and it'll do wondrous things for your kids. So if you're in that situation, that's the only piece of advice that I would give you. Next up in the fastest 15. So there was a story going around last week. Did you hear about this? Molly Ringwald was criticizing the movie The Breakfast Club.
Yes.
Are you familiar with the movie? Have you seen it?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a terrific movie. But she wrote a piece in the New Yorker last week that everyone was talking about. And she said now, in light of the Me Too movement, she is distressed at the movie The Breakfast Club. The movie that made her, I don't know if it made her a star, 16 Candles, and she had some other ones. But John Hughes, the director, he's definitely the man who made her a star because he directed all of her movies. But Ringwald complained last week that her character, Claire, is sexually harassed by Judd Nelson's character, and he never apologizes for any of it, but he gets the girl in the end, and he said, Bender sexually harasses Claire throughout the film, but he's not sexualizing her. He takes out his rage on her with vicious contempt, calling her pathetic, mocking her as Queenie. It's Claire's rejection that inspires his vitriol. And she said that in light of Me Too, she wishes she hadn't made the movie. And John Hughes is dead now. But I read a great essay this morning by a columnist named John Nolte. And he said, I honestly cannot believe I have to explain the Breakfast Club to the star of the Breakfast Club. But he points out that the reason Judd Nelson's character was so boorish was because he was horribly abused by his dad, and that these kids had more in common, even though the veneer they put forth, whether it was kind of the prissy, you know, Queenie that Molly Ringwald was, or the nerdly girl, or by Ally Sheedy, or the jock who was Emilio Estevan. And the whole message was, we're really more alike, and if you let down your veneers, then you can find common ground with anybody. And that's the columnist message. And it's like Molly Ringwald either didn't get that or is ignoring it so she could write this hip column criticizing the movie she was in so she can be part of the Me Too movement.
Well, you know who I haven't talked about until today? Molly Ringwald.
Yeah, I know. So maybe she needed to do this to feel relevant again. But
because there are so many other ways that you can illustrate how, you know, Me Too, you know, it impacted women and et cetera. But that might not be the best.
It's just dumb. Yeah. It's so stupid. But she wanted to be cool and hip. So she wrote that bizarre piece. So anyway, it's a really cool piece by this columnist, John Nolte, who is defending the Breakfast Club to the star of the Breakfast Club. Next up in the Fastest 15. You see this thing about the Philadelphia Phillies manager?
I was mesmerized by that story.
Because I love ice cream. You like the ice cream?
I love ice cream. And coffee Haagen-Dazs.
I always get the low fat whenever. I don't eat much ice cream anymore. But when I do, I get the low fat. Because I think the low fat tastes as good. But then I every time I say something like that, I have people who tell me the low fat's horrible for you. Low
it's
fat.
Icy. Yeah, it's always a little too icy.
Well, you mean horrible as far as health-wise?
Not just ice. Like a couple
days better
ago,
than full fat?
A couple days ago, I said I had low-fat Caesar dressing, which I don't mind. And I had all these emails from people saying, you know, that's horrible for your body, and the full fat is, it's not going to do you any worse.
It's like that whole Diet Coke argument.
Yeah.
Diet Cokes are worse than the real thing.
Anyway, the manager of the Philadelphia Phillies, Gabe Kapler, he's very health conscious. He's 42 years old. And Sports Illustrated has a story about his ice cream eating. So here's what he will do. He will take a lick, let it settle in his mouth, and then he spits out every bite of ice cream. They said he's so into health, he's addicted to ice cream. So he'll sit there and lick ice cream, but have a cup and spit into it. He would lick it just for the taste, but didn't want to eat it. And the person they quoted in Sports Illustrated said, dude, that's like Unabomber type stuff. There's a guy who played for him.
Okay, not quite, but
isn't that weird, though?
Well, it is weird, but then
it's
I read even further because I was thinking, well, you know, what food would you say, okay, it's worth it just to get the taste of it without the calories? I mean, is there any food that would fall in that category for you? I'm thinking maybe ice cream.
No, just eat the darn stuff.
Have it in moderation.
Spitting it out is disgusting. That's like chewing tobacco.
It is. Well, you don't have to do it in front of everybody. But he tried to defend himself. And what he said was, I did it while I was on this specific diet where I was trying not to have so many carbs.
He was on a chicken breast and bean diet.
He just could not do without his ice cream.
Yeah. That's really disgusting.
I feel for him. Because we're all on diets right now, and there are some things that I'm having a really hard time cutting out. If I could just suck on some popcorn and then spit it out, I'd probably do it.
That sounds disgusting. Okay, that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast Dory's Fastest 15.
All right, so you got a music bed for me, Sean?
I do, yes.
Okay, all right. I'm going to try this. It's just something we're trying on the fly here. And then I got a bunch of other stories I didn't get to. So we'll try the spoken word version of the Billy Joel song and a second 15 all straight ahead.
A bottle of red, a bottle of white,
Okay, I got a bunch of news stories to talk about in the second 15, so I'm not going to waste a lot of your time with this. But yesterday in Awesome Audio, I played this ridiculous Gayle King spoken word version of Elton John's Someone Saved My Life Tonight.
And it's one more beer, and I don't hear you anymore. We've all gone crazy lately. My friends out there rolling around the basement floor. Someone saved my life tonight. Someone saved my life tonight.
I don't know, Dory. The bar is set pretty high there.
Yeah, and then in the Fast 15, last half hour, a bunch of listeners said that her version of that song reminded them of Shatner's version of Rocket Man.
Mars ain't the kind of place to raise a kid. In fact, it's cold as hell.
Okay, so then Sean challenged me and thought that I should do a spoken word version of a Billy Joel song.
That's right, and you picked scenes from an Italian restaurant.
Yeah, now, that was just off the top of my head. I maybe could have come up with something better.
Okay, well, now it's too late.
I didn't know you were going to ask. Okay, you want to give this a try here?
Yeah, you ready?
Yeah, and then, like I said, I'm not going to waste your time too long with this. Okay, yeah, let's go.
No, it's fun. Wait.
The lyrics start right off the bat.
Come on, Dory. I thought you knew the song.
Okay, start it over. Start it over. Okay.
All right.
Sorry, we didn't play on this.
Wait. It's your interpretation anyway. It doesn't matter if it does normally start right at the top.
I thought maybe there was a little instrumental at the beginning.
There's a little lead up.
Okay, here we go. Bottle of white. Bottle of red. Perhaps a bottle of rosé instead? Now, see, that was the intro. Now you got to start. Bottle of white. Bottle of red. Perhaps a bottle of rosé instead? See, I did it the exact same way that time. We'll get a table near the street in our old familiar place. You and I, face to face. A bottle of red. A bottle of white. It all depends upon your appetite. I'll meet you anytime you want in our Italian restaurant.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
I wish we could have gotten to the Brenda and Eddie part, though. That was part of my favorite part of the song. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, we do have a second 15 here. Lots of other stories. Oh, this was scary. The baseball season, the ratings are way down, apparently, in the first couple of weeks of the season. The Mariners did pretty well on their road trip that they completed last night. But I saw yesterday, maybe they're trying to spice things up, because there were two fights in baseball. The Red Sox and the Yankees had a fight, and the Padres and whoever they were playing. And I think I know more about the Padres this season than any team in baseball.
Because of the brawl?
No, because one of my closest friends here at the radio station, our production director, Russ Simber, his son, made the Padres, which is just fantastic. And Adam, his son, is just having Russ and his wife, who are good friends with my wife and me, they went down for the opening homestand. And their son, Adam, pitched in more games. And I mean, you have to understand the story. He's 27 or 28, been banging around the minor leagues for about 5 years. A year ago, he wasn't even placed on any of their minor league teams, and it looked like it was over for him. And then through perseverance and I mean, it's just been an incredible story. It's been so fun to follow along. And Adam got the loss on opening day, and I'm texting Russ. I'm watching the game, and we're texting during the game, and then it was disappointing. Adam hasn't given up a run since opening day.
Oh, that is fantastic.
His ERA is down to 1.80, and it's just been, but so.
I mean, he's a local guy. I mean, like, as in, he played for you. He played
for the University of Washington and Puyallup High School,
right, exactly.
And was part of the very successful team. And it's funny because Russ and I go way, way back. And I remember when Adam was about 14, 15 years old, and they have like a wood cutout of a batter that a pitcher can pitch to, that, you know, it'll simulate pitching with somebody in the batter's box. And Russ was catching him.
Mm-hmm.
And Russ didn't have a face mask on, and one of Adam's pitches just ticked the wood cutout, and it shattered Russ's jaw.
Oh,
do you remember that?
No.
About 15 years ago?
No.
And Russ is our production guy. He does a lot. He's our voice on a lot of our commercials, and there was a fear that it might screw up his, you know, ability
profession.
To speak. Yeah,
profession. Yeah.
And so, you know, we go way back following along his son, and then, you know, I think they won state at Puyallup High School, and then he went to the UW, and it's just been an incredible story. So, anyway, Padres got in a fight yesterday, so I asked Russ if Adam came out from the bullpen to get involved. It was the thing where, you know, everybody in both bullpens, they trot out.
Well, did he?
Nah, they always just kind of hang around the perimeter. But this was really scary. In baseball yesterday, the Washington Nationals, they have a pitcher named Jordan Zimmermann, and he throws the pitch, a line drive, and they can always clock the speed of the batted balls now. A line drive goes 106 miles an hour and hits pitcher Jordan Zimmermann right in the jaw. And here's how it sounded on the play-by-play.
Oh, look out, Zimmermann is hit on a line drive by Jason Kipnis, and he is down. Oh, my goodness. Right back to the mound, and it hit.
Listen to how silent. This is a ballpark with about 25,000 people. I mean, listen to how dead silent it got. The guy's just splayed out on the ground.
Zimmermann flush.
Looks like it got him on the cheek. And this...
The silence of that ballpark. I've never heard anything like that. And anyway, the guy's on the ground for several seconds. Then he got up and walked off after being hit in the jaw by a 106-mile-an-hour fastball.
The batter was on the ground, too, just felt terrible.
Oh, he was distraught. The batter for the other team was absolutely distraught, and it was really scary. And then speaking of sports, there's a guy who did Seahawks play-by-play for, I think, 2 years named Brian Davis. Do you remember? Do you remember Brian Davis?
I do.
He was a goofy guy. All I remember is when he first came to town, and I don't remember if my producer then was Jake or Phil Vandervoort before Jake, but we decided we'll take the new Seahawk play-by-play guy out to lunch and make sure, you know, he knows we'll do whatever we can for him. Do you have that audio? Is that bumped up? I don't know why I'm not seeing this.
Yes.
Anyway, Brian Davis, we took him out to lunch. And I asked him if he had found a place to live.
Uh-huh.
And I remember him saying that, oh, yeah, I got so lucky with a place to live. I mean, horseshoe up my butt lucky. What does that even mean?
I don't know that I've ever heard of that.
I've never heard that. He was just kind of a, you know, different cat. But anyway, he now does the play-by-play for the Oklahoma City Thunder. And one of the players on the Thunder is Russell Westbrook, who's a terrific player, African-American guy. He's having a great game last night. And Brian Davis, their play-by-play guy, described his great game this way.
Russell looking for Ferguson in the corner for three. Westbrook is out of his cotton-picking mind.
Oh, no.
Out of his cotton-picking mind. And so the Oklahoma City Thunder had to release a statement this morning condemning the comments by their play-by-play guy. We find the term used by Brian Davis on our broadcast last night to be highly inappropriate and offensive. We've discussed it with the announcer and let him know that. He assures us it was not meant in any sort of offensive or derogatory manner, and he apologizes. And... you know he didn't mean anything offensive by it. He
But there's still something to be said if you don't mean to be offensive, but it is
have
offensive.
Some awareness.
So, yeah, I know. Exactly.
Some awareness out of his cotton picking. I don't even know what that means. It's like horseshoe up the butt. What is playing out of your cotton picking mind even mean when he's trying to compliment a guy on his own tape? Okay, quick timeout. We've got a bunch of other stories here. Second 15 continues here on the Dory Monson Show.
All the movie stars in their fancy cars and their limousines.
Thanks for listening to the Dory Monson Show podcast, brought to you by Industrious Office. Industrious Office is just an amazing workspace right in the heart of downtown Seattle, right on 6th and Lenora, right where everything Seattle has to offer is on your doorstep. And at Industrious, you can start with the right size office and then scale up as your team grows. Go to industriousoffice.com/Cairo, schedule a tour, mention Cairo, receive your first month lease for free.
Hi, I'm Tina Sorensen, General Sales Manager for Cairo Radio. When Cairo Radio listeners miss their favorite show, they find it on demand. Maybe you should be advertising here. Give me a call and I'll help you out. 206-726-6819.
Got a lot of stuff we're going to hit in the big lead at 2 o'clock, including the latest on the rumor that the Seahawks were ready to bring Colin Kaepernick in for a tryout. Get to that in the big lead coming up at 2 o'clock. I thought this was fascinating. Nicole did not like this story at all. A fisherman saw that a predator had killed a shark, a mama shark. And this quick-thinking fisherman, 46 years old, he claims that this seven-gill shark was already dead when he pulled it onto his boat off the coast of Australia. And he says when he laid the shark on the deck of his boat, it had already been killed by a predator, he claims, but he realized the shark's stomach was still moving. And so, this fisherman performed a C-section on this mama shark. And the video is amazing. You see him cut the shark open. And I remember I had a friend. What are those shark-like dogfish that you can catch in Puget Sound and up in the San Juans? And I remember a friend went and saw Jaws, and there was some cutting of the shark in Jaws. And he said, that's the exact sound that's made when you cut open a dogfish. And I thought about that when I heard this fisherman cut open the shark.
Another one. It's going to be careful here. Oh, look.
Okay, so he cuts open the mama shark, and all of a sudden, there's a baby shark inside the tummy. And he pulls it out, but then he pulls out another, and another, and another. And you see all of these baby sharks, and he's pulling them out one after another, and you didn't like this video at all.
Well, it's gross. I mean, there's a reason I'm not a doctor.
But he's saving these baby sharks' lives.
Do we not have enough sharks in the world? 98? We need
there
98
were 98 babies inside of this mama.
Parents embarrasses
me. Look at the
And he's throwing them into the water. Listening to some music from about 9 years ago.
Although I'm guessing these mini sharks without any protection just came fish food anyway.
20? That was 20 that he counted. And he just kept pulling them out and they kept videotaping. 98 babies!
I did not know they could carry 98.
Sounds like mama got around a little bit, if you ask me. I guess that would be just a one-nighter.
I think it's just...
Yeah. Okay, we've got lots of news, including the latest Colin Kaepernick and the Seahawks next.